Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, this is the last sermon in our series through the book of Hebrews, as we've seen that Jesus is greater than, and one of the many themes, besides Jesus himself being the theme, one of the many themes is just to hold on to our faith, to stand firm, to hold on, to keep on keeping on is one of the phrases that we have used. And last week we spent some time in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to do the same this week as we finish up. And just to remind you, he's going to describe the race, the life of faith and following Jesus as a race. And it's not a 50-yard dash. It is a marathon. It's a long haul. And there are some things in this few verses in Hebrews chapter 12 that I'm just calling marathon motivators. Some ways to motivate us to finish this race strong, to not give up, to not drop out, but to keep on keeping on. And so I hope that you will be motivated and you'll be blessed this morning. Matthew, thanks for leading us, and let's continue to worship. Well, last week we looked at four motivations to keep running this marathon of faith, this race of faith. And the first one, just as a reminder, is that the passage teaches us to focus on Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we said that word means to look away from other things and fix your attention on something. And Jesus is the thing that we fix our attention on. We focus on Jesus. The second thing the passage teaches us as we run this race is that we need to strip down. We need to get rid of the things in our life that are drawing our attention, that are keeping us from focusing on Jesus. The weight that slows us down, just the things in life that we pick up and we carry and we lug along with us and they weigh us down. And then also specifically the sin that so easily trips us up. We need to strip ourselves of those things as we run. The third thing is that we need to run with a crowd. We're not going to finish this marathon alone. We need a crowd to run with. He reminds us that there is a great crowd of witnesses who have finished this race, who have gone on before. They are cheering us on. But also we need folks today in flesh and blood who are running alongside of us that we can run with a crowd. And then the fourth thing we said is we need to count on God from start to finish. From start to finish. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the one who started this, and he is the one who will finish this. He will finish the good work that he has started in us. And based on the feedback that you gave me last week, this message from Hebrews chapter 12 is a really timely, encouraging message, and I'm thankful for that. And so I want to give you a few more motivators out of this passage this morning. So the fifth one that we see here is this idea, and it's really in the song that we just sang, that God is cheering me on at every stage of this race. God is cheering me on. And really and truly, this concept can be life-changing for you. Depending on your view of God. But God is watching you in this race. He is watching you as you run this marathon. He is watching you as you run the marathon of life, this long race. And he is cheering you on. God is for you. He is with you in this race. God is not watching you race, looking, anticipating, watching for when you're going to mess up and when you're going to trip up and when you're not going to be running your best. That's not the way God is watching you. God is cheering you on. He is for you. See, some of us have this mistaken idea that God only smiles at us when we do something right. And I believe he does smile when we do something right. But some of us have the idea that God only smiles at us when we reach a certain stage of maturity. Or that God only smiles at us once we cross the finish line. But God is smiling on you all through your life. God is cheering you on all through this race. And I just want us to think about that, because we are running a long race. And it is a life of progress, a life of stages, a life of maturing. And we don't look at a little baby and shame or ridicule or mock a little baby because they don't know how to read yet. We don't say, "You stupid little baby, why can't you read Dick and Jane?" They don't read Dick and Jane anymore, do they? I don't know who they read anymore. But I want you to think about that. We don't shame or punish an 8-year-old because they can't yet balance a checkbook. And people don't balance a checkbook anymore either, do they? But you get my point. We don't make fun of our little child or grandchild when they bring us this work of art that they have just drawn for us. We don't make fun of them and say, "That is so dumb. Why couldn't you stay in the lines?" Or, "What is that anyway?" Well, that's not what we do. We treasure that little piece of art that they made for us. And we're proud of them because that's the stage they're in and that's what they presented to us. And I just say to you this morning, that really is what this life in the faith is like. And we're going to, in January, spend a little bit more time talking about these stages of maturity. But we begin as infants and we grow from there. And it takes a whole life, physically and spiritually. And so, God isn't mocking you when you're a baby, because you're not doing things that adults are doing. Now, he wants you to become an adult, and we're going to talk about that. But he isn't mocking you or making fun of you or punishing you. He's cheering you on. He's smiling at every stage of development, every step of progress that you're making, because he's for you and he's helping you. And again, think about it in terms of a race. We spent a lot of time in high school at sporting events, and when our boys were in high school, and at track races. And I want you to think about, when does the crowd begin to cheer? They begin to cheer when the race starts, right? And they keep cheering. And when they don't wait till the finish line to cheer. They're encouraging, they're cheering their students on every single step of the race. And when somebody stumbles, or when somebody falls, or when somebody gets tripped up, the parents don't start yelling curses at their child and humiliating them in the race. No, they're encouraging them, get up, finish strong, keep going. Why? Because they're good parents. And I want you to see in Hebrews chapter 12... that being a parent, being a father, is one of the metaphors that the writer, the preacher uses. God is our father. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that," what's the end result? "So that we would share in his holiness, so that we will be like Christ." And those are encouraging words, because God cares enough about your development. He is cheering you on. He is for you. He does want you to finish this race. Therefore, one of the ways he's going to cheer you on is like a father. And that's going to mean that there is going to be some discipline along the way. There's going to be some correction so that you'll run better. There's going to be some teaching so that you have good form. And there may even come some times when there needs to be some punishment, so you'll be motivated even better. Because the goal is to get to maturity in Christ, to get to holiness. And remember, the finish line isn't death. That's kind of the thing we think of, because that's when our life is over. But the finish line is becoming like Jesus. That's the goal. That's where we're headed. That's where we want to be in the end, is when God makes us fully and finally like Jesus. That's the direction God has you headed in. And He's encouraging you. And He will even discipline you to get you there. Because, really and truly, to let your children go undisciplined is not a good thing. To let your kids run wild is not a good thing. It doesn't move them forward. To let a child have anything and everything they want, or to hurt themselves over and over, or to create chaos and havoc, that's not love. And God loves us as a father loves us. He is cheering us on. That's the first metaphor in here. The second one comes in verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there's a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. That second metaphor is in that word trained. It's the word gymnasium. And when you go to work out at a gym, you need a coach. And so God is cheering us on as our father. God is also cheering us on as our coach. And a good coach is going to bring out the very best in an athlete, right? A good coach is going to bring out the very best in the team. He or she is going to push us to reach our full potential. And it's always going to be a little more than we think that we can do. They're going to push us to go further than we thought we could go. And actually, a good coach is going to break you down so that he can build you back up. And that's literally what happens when you work out. Your muscles get broken down. And then as the body rebuilds the muscle, it is stronger than it was before. That's what working out does. And that's what a coach, God as a coach, is going to do in our faith. He's going to work us out. He's going to build the muscle of faith. And He is going to use tests and trials and suffering and hardships. He's not going to smooth the path every time so that you don't experience any of those things. He's going to let you experience those things, because that's how He's building your faith, so that you can finish the race. And so that's a motivator. God is cheering you on, but He's not your fan cheering you on. He's your father. He's your coach. And if you listen to Him, keep your eyes fixed on Him, you'll finish. The second one that we're going to look at today, I guess it's number 6 on the outline. And you don't even have to listen to this one, okay? Because this is for me. I'm fixing to preach to myself for a few minutes. And it is, don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Hebrews 12:1 says, "And let us run with patience the race God has set before us." See, you don't need patience for a 50-yard dash, right? But you need patience if you're going to run a marathon or ride for 100 miles. And you have to think differently about the race. You have to mentally prepare differently for a marathon than you do a 50-yard dash. And I'm preaching to me, because I'm just constantly running 50-yard dashes. And God's saying, slow down. Be patient. Process this a little bit differently, because this is a long race. It's a full marathon. You're not going to finish it this week. You're not going to finish it this month. You're not even going to finish it this year. It's going to take a lifetime. So don't get in a hurry. Because really and truly, growth, maturity, in any kind of example we wanted to look in, is more stable, it is more solid, it is healthier,
when it comes over time. It's incremental. It's seasonal. And everything in God's creation grows this way, including me and including you. God is not in a hurry. He never gets anxious. He never gets impatient. He's not in a hurry. He sees the long game. And he knows how to get you to the finish line. And when God wants a mushroom, it just takes him 6 hours to grow one. But when God wants an oak tree, it takes him 60 years to grow one. And you know what? Spiritually, I don't want to be a mushroom. Spiritually, I want to be an oak. And for that oak tree to become the mighty, majestic, fruitful tree that it is, it has to endure a lot of time, a lot of sunny days, and a lot of rainy days, and a number of days that are really, really stormy. And through it all, it just keeps growing toward the sun. And it's strong. And it withstands. That's what God wants for you. Okay, let's just use another analogy in case trees don't connect with you. You just had Thanksgiving. When I think about Thanksgiving and I think about growing up, I think about going to my mama's house. And my mama was hands down the best cook there's ever been. And every one of you should think about your mama's the same way. But since I'm up here, I get to say my mama was the best cook there ever was. And I have college friends who will still talk about that year they got to go home with me for Thanksgiving. They had never seen a spread like that in their life. But the reason my mama was such a good cook was because she took a lot of time over every meal. And she'd start early in the afternoon getting ready for that supper meal. And she'd use all kinds of fresh ingredients that she had grown herself. And she knew just the right amounts to put in. And then she'd put in a lot of love. And I'm convinced without a shadow of a doubt that that's a real ingredient that goes in food. And when it's cooked by someone who does it with love and who loves you, it just tastes better. And I think it's better for you. And she'd let that meal just cook slow and long, and it'd stew and it'd simmer. And oh my goodness, was it good. See, folks, God is not a modern day cook cooking in the microwave. Not even the Instapot. God's cooking in the crock pot of life. And it takes a while. And he's going to mix in fresh ingredients in your life. He's going to turn up the heat sometimes. He's going to turn it down. He's going to stir it. He's going to pour in a lot of love. And you're going to simmer sometimes. And you're going to stew sometimes. But boy, at the end, you're going to be just right. Just exactly what he intended. So don't get in a hurry. Ken, don't get in a hurry. Be patient. And here's what you got to remember while you're doing that. Is when it gets hard, remember the reward. When it gets hard, remember the reward. See, everybody who runs or everybody who rides, they'll talk about that moment in the race where they hit the wall. They hit the wall. It's hard to explain. They just don't think they can go on any further. That moment when they just think, I cannot do this. I do not think I am going to finish this race. And those moments come in the marathon of faith as well. Because the reality is, the race is long and the race is hard. Remember, we said last week, the word here in Greek that is translated race is really agony. So when life gets hard, and it will, remember the reward. Remember what you are running for. When you go through the problems and when you go through the pressures and you go through the trials and you go through the difficulties and you go through the hills and the valleys and the ups and the downs, keep in mind the end goal. Remember the reward. And again, we talk about it as heaven, and it is, but the reward is Jesus. The reward is to be with Him, to be like Him, to be fully made into what God originally intended for you and for me. That's what God's doing in your life. He's forming you to be like His Son. And He's going to do the same kind of work in you that He did in Jesus. And that means there's going to be some suffering. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Is what the Bible says. He was made complete through suffering. And suffering is going to be a part of your race. Hebrews 12 verses 2 and 3. We've read it several times. This is in a different translation. Jesus did not give up when He was running the race because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for Him, He thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and He is now seated at the right side of God's throne. So think of what He went through, how much He put up with, so much hatred from sinners. And don't let yourselves become discouraged and give up. Don't give up, brothers and sisters. Don't drop out of this race. Don't be discouraged. Everything that you are going through, Jesus has already been through. He was lonely. He was criticized. He was rejected. He was completely misunderstood. He was betrayed. He was worn out. He was tired. He needed encouragement along the way, and God gave it to him. And if you'll endure like He did, remember what is coming. Remember the reward. If you'll keep on keeping on, if you will hold on to your faith, you will finish this race. And you'll receive the reward. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 says, "Since we are His children, we will share in His treasures. For everything God gives to His Son, Christ, is ours too." We are co-heirs with Jesus. We will share in His inheritance from the Father. But the verse finishes. See, I stopped in the middle of it. The verse finishes. If we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. It's just part of the race. It's part of life. No pain, no gain, no guts, no glory, whatever phrase you want to use. But remember the reward. It's all going to be worth it. To see Christ, to be like Christ. I want you to stand this morning. I want you to hear the word of the Lord read over you. From 1 Peter chapter 5. After you suffer for a short time, God, who gives all grace, will make everything right. He will make you strong. He will support you. He will keep you from falling. He called you to share in His glory in Christ, a glory that will continue forever. I'm going to pray over you. Then Matthew's going to lead us in a song, and Steve and Ruth are going to be here in the prayer room.
If the race is hard for you right now, this is a crowd you can run with. There are spiritual leaders who are willing to walk with you, run with you, pray with you, support you, pray for you, train with you. Keep these words in mind. God has a plan and a purpose and a reason. And you can finish this race. And you can finish strong. So would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for these great words of truth that don't hide the reality that in this life there is suffering. And I know there are people in the room this morning who are they're suffering in some way. This is a season of the year, honestly, that's hard for a lot of folks. Thank you that you give all grace. And thank you, Lord, that there is a day coming when you will make everything right. Father, make us strong. Support us. Keep us from falling. And thank you for calling us to share not only in the sufferings of Christ, but to share in the glory of Christ. A glory that we will experience and enjoy and relish in for eternity. Thank you that Jesus started this race and that he will finish this race in us. We commit to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.